Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
The vision that God gives our lives, it's easy when it's taken in steps. And I think that's a big key. I think that that doesn't mean it's the be-all, end-all. I mean, I think about the maturation in my life, in Sandy's life, when we started this church. How did that happen? You know, there's people that will come and say, man, did you see this when you started the church 22 and a half years ago? And it's like, no. I mean, I saw like a month, and then I saw 3 months, and maybe I saw 6 months. But beyond that, it's never more than that. It's always next steps for me. It's all, and that's a big key. And that's how you have to look at your life. What's your next step? That's what this is about today. You're receiving what God has for you so that you can have your next step. That's all this is, that you get to your next step. And it's one step of faith at a time. That's what this is. See, there's some of you guys, you've come in and you're actually a babe in Christ, and we're like coaching you like you're an Olympic athlete. You know, yeah, at some point you could take some steps and get there, but the bottom line is you gotta just start being fluid with your mobility, and then get up on your feet and understand that you might need some help once in a while. You know, as a toddler, you know, it's interesting because with my kids and still with the girls, there's a hard and fast rule. You hold hands in the parking lot. Man, I see little kids at a grocery store, parents walking and the kids walking behind them. Man, never. Man, we're not going to leave things to chance. Well, that's how we are spiritually. Man, some of you guys are toddlers. Some of you guys are young in the Lord. Man, you know what? You may need somebody to grab your hand and walk you through but you know what? You can't let pride keep you from receiving the help. And in order to receive what God has for you to receive, it's going to require you gaining some help. And that's what church is about. The whole idea of the local church. And then our steps of faith become a life of faith. And see, that's the end all. It's just a life of faith. Is we're trusting God. No matter what we see, no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on around us, my trust is in God. I'm putting the whole of my trust. And faith is more than us just knowing it. See, I think some of you guys have become churched, okay, instead of being the church. But we become church. We get acclimated. We know the right things to say and the right things to do in front of this certain group of people. And just knowing it enough, you know, the devil knows the word. The devil knows God has a plan for your life. And so what do we have to do? We have to, it's more than just knowing it. And that's why we brought Alex in. And this is big guns. Alex Swainsbury, will you guys recognize that he's here today?
And thank you.
Hey, everybody do this. Everybody take a cleansing breath, okay? Breathe in, hold it for a second, breathe out. Turn to somebody and say, hey, you need a mint, bro, okay? Go.
Well, welcome, guys. So we want to pick up from where we started last week on this, the idea of how to receive, the principle of how to receive. And we've already heard some breakthroughs. We've heard of some victories. We've heard of businesses being started. We've heard of people feeling compelled, feeling like their step of faith, their promised land was starting to fund for college. And those are just ones we've heard. So I'm sure there's more testimonies out there. So we want to continue with this theme of being mobilized to what that promise is for you. So day to day, I'm fortunate enough to work with families and businesses. And in my initial meeting with prospective client, we call it the discovery. And that discovery is really finding out what is that vision? What is it in that client's life, in your life, that you have? For some, as you define that goal, it may be starting a business. It may be buying a home. It may be getting out of debt. It may be funding college. But what is it? And so today we want to give you one very simple step that you can begin implementing in your life to move you towards what that promise is. Managing what you have and creating capacity for what that blessing is going to look like. And we're calling it the 20-60-20 rule. I didn't coin it, but it's something that I apply every day with my clients. And so the rule looks at saving and investing 20% of your income, allocating 60% towards essential expenses of that income, and then using the others 20% for discretionary expenses. Okay? So we're just going to walk through this, and then we're going to look at a kind of a case study, if you will. So when we look at saving and investing, we need to build an emergency fund. First comes first is building your plan, building that promise on solid ground. So making sure we've got an emergency reserve. Then when you start to get kind of into your 50s, maybe 57-ish.
Hey, you're talking to them.
Okay.
You give him a mic, he's a comedian all of a sudden, huh? And he's British.
Soon to be American. 20 years out, you know, when we start thinking about the need for resources long term, that's that second place. And then the short to midterm is kind of the third point at which we hit. Okay? Then we look at that 60%. So this is where we know it's a biblical principle. First 10% goes towards a tithe. And so it comes out of those essential expenses. Then we allocate 25% towards housing and shelter. We then allocate 10% combined for transportation and food. And then 10% towards children and 5% towards insurance, making sure we're building a fortress around everything. And then that last 20% is the fun stuff, okay? For some of you, you may have that desire to own your own home, to pay down debt. These extra payments these extra resources that you wanted to crush that debt with, this is where it's going to come from. You may say, you know what, we're gonna ease off eating out as much. Go into the, what did you call it earlier, like movie house or something? Yeah. I just going to Google that one. I didn't know what a movie house was.
I went to the movie house with Sandy yesterday.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. but making sure that you're using those discretionary dollars in a way that is going to put you towards the promise to give you breakthrough, okay? In here, too, is entertainment and vacation. And so I was speaking to someone just this week, and we were talking about the subject of vacation, and they shared that they wanted to build those memories with their family, make sure that they're preparing to just, you know, every year have a time where they can break free and just go and vacate. And so the question was, well, how much do you need? You know, how long will we be going? How much is that going to cost? And then we landed at $2,400. So in that discretionary expense, $200 a month, every month, is going to prepare for that next vacation for them. So up on the screen, you're looking at just a basic, it's the median household income in the U.S. of $50,000. And you can see here, kind of, the breakdown between saving and investing, essential expenses, and discretionary expenses. And so the principle here, the one takeaway is, really what Jesus said in Luke was, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And it's every year we have what's known as a review. It's part of what we get to do. And it's in that meeting where we really find out how people have had their breakthrough. And it's absolutely 100% of the time, the people that grasp this 20-60-20 rule, they get their hands around their budget, are already starting to live with more freedom, more excitement in what they're doing. And so it's our hope that you get to take this with you this week, start working on it. In the information desk, there's just a kind of a budget breakdown as a general guideline.
Well, and I think too, and maybe you speak toward, this requires some discipline. You know, some of you guys need a resurrection in your finances, and that can start with your budget. And what you have to understand is that, to me, it's interesting because the mean income in America is $50,000 a year, household income, but the average household in America has $18,000 of credit card debt. Well, my goodness, if you're making a minimum payment on that, I think that's a bad plan. I think that, you know, you look at the discretionary spending that we have, that debt really needs to be at the top of the list. It expired, just getting to the point where you're knocking that debt out. And what I want to tell you is, if we're doing this of our own volition, it's the arm of the flesh. But we put our trust in God. Our tithe, man, the first 10% of the whole year income, that's you making a statement to your finances, I'm putting my trust in God. Now, you put your trust in God, let me just tell you, what that does is it accelerates the defeat of that debt. Here's what the Word says. The Word says our death is swallowed up in victory. Well, debt is a form of death. That's how I look at it. That's how Sandy looks at it. That's how we treat that. And so it's interesting about this time in the month, three or four times a year, man, I'll be talking to Sandy, who takes care of our household budget, and she'll say, hey, let's really try not to use the credit card for the rest of the month. You know why? We pay that credit card off every month. So that's just a signal. And I'll tell you, toward the end of the month, we're not using it if we're hitting that capacity, if we're hitting that point. See, a rule of thumb is you don't use that credit card for anything that you're not going to pay off at the end of the month. But you have to discipline yourself. Man, if you discipline yourself, that puts you in an obedient place with God. When you discipline yourself and you're obedient, what does the Bible say? Eat the good of the land. See, the whole idea of this is to get you out of the bondage of the world. The Bible says that you can't take care of the household of God if you can't take care of your own home. Man, you got to manage your home well. Man, your kids, raising your kids. You know, it's my kids have been raised almost in a public setting. And you know, if anything ever, it's like, well, oh yeah, pastor's kid or whatever. But the bottom line is, Sandy and I have been incredibly proud of our children. But it's not that they're not ever going to mess up. It's not that you're never going to get your finances aren't going to get skewed a little bit. It's that when you see that your kids are messing up, or you see that your finances get skewed, it's like, wait a second, now we've got to apply some discipline. And the discipline that we use, man, you watch, you put it before God, you put that tithe check in that bucket, and you say, God, I thank you that my debt is swallowed up in victory. And then you know what? You begin to pay that debt off. And you might say, well, I don't have much to pay down. Let me just tell you, it doesn't matter to God. Listen, to save by many or by few. God's not looking at your income or your bank account. God's looking at your heart every time. God's always checking your heart in the matter. He's checking it. And you know what you can't have? You can't have an attitude that you can't get it done. Man, some of you guys need to repent of having an attitude, I can't afford that. No, you know what? I'm just not going to buy that right now. See, it's completely different. And it's not just a play on words, and it's not just for, no, you know what? It's the attitude of my heart. See, I'm an inheritor of the kingdom. Man, the riches and the glory of heaven is at my disposal. But see, what we have to understand is there's three things that we have to approach this, how we approach this. Number one, you have to be able to see it. And we don't see, like the world sees, I'm not talking about with our natural eyes. I'm not talking about seeing it at face value. You know what the Bible says about face value? You can never trust face value. There's always something that you don't know. There's always something that you can't see. And what does the Bible talk about? The unseen things. Everything that's seen was made by what's unseen. Everything that's visible was made by the invisible. That unseen part, the diagnosis you get from the doctor, is that they say, well, I'm absolutely sure. No, you know what they're doing? They're practicing medicine. You know why? Because the bottom line is, man, trust trumps facts. See, facts change. The truth never does. See, we apply our faith. We apply our trust. In our finances, the same way we would raising our kids, the same way we would, man, what we want to do is we want to create margins in our life. I remember when Sandy and I had conversations about being a certain amount of months, and I think the rule of thumb is you want, in that emergency fund, you want 6 months. And let me just tell you, I hesitate to say 6 months because I know 80, 85% of the people in the room are aghast and thinking, oh my gosh, no, there's no way I could save 6 months of in an emergency fund, 6 months of my expenses. Yeah, you know what? You're right if you have that attitude. You know what we started doing? We started just putting money in and building and building. And then, you know what? It started building a little bit. The next thing you know, we're believing God now for it. We start believing God. The next thing you know, it's in your rearview mirror. And it's that quick. See, the term time flies is true. It really is, because I don't have my sight on my watch. I have my sight on the timing that God delivers when we begin to trust him. We begin to believe him for things. Man, I'll tell you, we can't win the world if we're just sapped in debt. I'll tell you, just this week I was sitting having a cup of coffee and I just thought, you know, I wonder what kind of resources we as a church would have if everyone who called Guts their church tithed. The revenue would exceed the expenses by 3.5 times, 350%. Oh my gosh, it took my breath away. It's not, and listen, this isn't a fundraising. The love for the house offering is not fundraising. It's that we see beyond just that invoice, that credit card bill that we get every month. That we begin to say, God, I just thank you right now. This credit card bill, I lay my hands on it, and everything I put my hand to prospers, God. And I thank you that my debt is swallowed up in victory in the name of Jesus. Man, we're free when we're free. We're bound when we're bound. And you know what? God wants to accelerate it, but you have to see that first. Man, you can't be saying what you can or can't afford. You just say what you want to buy or what you don't. Man, no means no. I mean, just be able to tell yourself no. Number two, you have to be able to speak it. This is huge. And I'll tell you why. There's two words that describe in the Greek the word of God. The first word is the logos, which is the written word of God, which is our Bible. You're reading your Bible, you turn on your phone, and boom, there's your Bible. You get a scripture of the day. You get, okay, that's the logos of God. The power of the logos of God is zero. There's no power in it. There's no power because it's written in a book that you have possession of. See, the logos of God becomes powerful what does the Bible say that you got? They slap you on the booty when you're born. Why? So that you take a breath. What happens is God breathes his breath into us. Okay? So now his word, what we're doing is we're taking a deep breath. By whose stripes I was healed, therefore I am. Now, what does that do? It takes the logos of God and turns it into the rhema of God. The rhema of God is where the power is. I'm telling you, it's that important. And I'll tell you what seeing it and saying it does. It's like you guys, how many guys have ever been in a high dive? How many guys? Sandy, remember when you're in a high dive? And the way Sandy does it is Sandy will go up on the dive like this, and she gives it this, and she... Okay, I'm going to do it this way on a better leg, okay? So she, is that right, Sandy? Should you do it or do you want me to do it? You want me to do it? Okay. Okay, so she gets, and boom, she's up like that. Do you see the air I got? Don't tell me I don't have some hops. I'll be dunking on you before you know it. But listen, so what am I talking about? Yeah, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. But listen, you want to get to that place where you say it, you see it, you say it, and you possess it. Possessing it is, it isn't when you take that first step. It isn't when you give it that hop. It's when that board springs you off of that hop. And that's what speaking it does. It springs you, and then you're doing incredible flips and twirls and stuff and making no splash, unless you dive like I do. And my dive is, we've got a pool in our backyard. And the fence is about 30 yards. I'm out of breath. Okay. And the fence in my yard is like 30 yards. And I'll get out in all my splendor at the pool, intimidating everybody. And I'll say, Sandy, I feel like doing my dive. I'm telling you, she perks up. All the kids are like, their heads are like this. It's like, shh, don't move. He's gonna do his dive. And I'll go to the fence 30 yards from the diving board. And I'm loose now. I'm ready to go. And I take off running as hard as I can. Hopefully I hit the end of the board. When I do, and I fly out, and let me tell you, I am vaulted. And you guys can see it in your head. It's in slow motion right now. Me flying through the air, and then bam, I hit that water. Dogs are barking, and babies are crying, and birds are flaring. But the whole idea of this is we see it to be able to say it so that we can possess it. And what always happens, see, it's see it plus say it equals possession. Let me tell you how the devil works in this. The devil works by the same principles, because the devil can't create anything in and of himself. All he can do is pervert and distort what God's already created. Okay? So when the devil's attacking you, all he's doing is getting things out of focus in your life and distorting things that God's already created for your good. So what we have to do is we have to understand that. But here's what the devil's going to do. The devil is going to try to get you, try to dupe you, and try to get you to where you see his work. And what that is, I'll use Hunter. Come on, Hunter. So what his work is, it starts off like this, that we're just kind of hanging together. We're walking together. We're just kind of palling up. We're chums. And you know what this is? This is depression. So the devil's just walking with you. The devil's trying to do a work, and you know what? It's within reach of you all the time. Everywhere you go, you know what? His little bit of work comes with him and comes with you. And so you're walking along, and you got this depression, but he's not satisfied with that. Because you just see it. He wants to choke you and choke you until you say it. And you start, I'm not done with you. And you start talking that depression. And once you say it, let me tell you what happens. Hop on my back.
Hop on your back?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Come on, man. You can't. I could have used Harold. That's how bad this is getting. Hop on my back, dadgummit. Okay, he's on my back now. And here I go. Hey, I'm cool. I'm gold with this. I'm all right. You do. Hey, ask me how I'm doing. Ask me how I'm doing. Oh, I'm good. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hey, you stop it. Hey, when I walk by, you hit him. Okay, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Couldn't be any better. How you doing? Oh, it's amazing. It's awesome. But you know what? I got that big old nasty demon on my back. See, he isn't satisfied with walking with me seeing him. It's he wants me to say it. He wants to possess it. See, God wants us to possess his promises. The devil wants to possess us. And you'll say, well, but I'm a Christian. You know what? You're a Christian. You're bought by the blood of the Lamb. The devil cannot possess you. He can depress you. He can oppress you. He cannot possess you. Unless, and you'll say, well, Shear, where are you with once saved, always saved? I think that's about as goofy an argument as anybody could ever have. Okay? What gets you into heaven? What gets you into right standing with God? A decision. A decision that you make, you believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth. The same thing can happen with you. You become a Christian, a believer, and then becoming an unbeliever. You can make that decision. You can believe in your heart and you can confess with your mouth the same and undo the whole thing. But let me tell you, it's very drastic. It goes from depression to oppression. And here's what concerns me about church these days. Is there's a trend to make it soft and cuddly. There's a trend to not really be very confrontive. Don't disrupt people's lives and let them come in and just make their own decisions. Hope they pick the right people to marry and hope things just work out. And that's not really hope, that's wishing. See, what we have to do is we have to understand it. We have to look at our lives that, wait a second, this life that God's given us is precious. Is the most precious thing we have is the life God's given us. And now he's breathed life into us where we see him. And you know what? What we can't do, and here's what the Bible says. The Bible says to keep your eye on the prize, the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. But see, I've got my eye on the prize. The good-looking fellow with the white shirt waved to me. Okay, there's the prize right there. I got my eye on that prize. I also know there's a bunch in my periphery. And there's stuff that can happen in my life to try to get my attention. I have to stay focused. I have to stay disciplined. I have to keep my eye on that prize. Because the Bible says any man who grabs the plow, I would prefer it said any man who grabs the plow and lets go of it and throws his hands up and just walks away isn't worthy of the kingdom of God. But that's not what it says. It says any man who grabs that plow and turns his head to the left or the right isn't worthy of the kingdom of God. See, does that mean you're not going to heaven? No, that means you're not going to receive his promises, God's way of doing things in this life right here. But see, so now we look at our lives, and I've got my eye, wave to me again, sir. I got my eye on that prize, man. I'm going, what does it require for me to get to that prize? Simple steps. I looked left, I looked to the right. What happens? Something else gets in focus. Something else gets my attention. What happens to that prize? What happens to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? It gets out of focus. It's in my periphery. I'll tell you, too often we can get by with saying we're a Christian, going to church, playing the game, and saying, hey, Jesus, hey, by the way, I'm hooked up with you. Why don't you grab that cross? Come on, follow me, Jesus. That's not how it works. He stops us in our tracks. He says, son, grab you some cross. Come on, follow me. And we've got to pick up that cross and follow him. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, it is such a sacrifice. Really? The sacrifice you're making is liberty. The sacrifice you're making is freedom. The sacrifice you're making is prosperity. The sacrifice you're making is health. You don't get to be sick anymore. You got that cross on your back and you're walking through life. The flu's gonna go, nah, let's go to an easier target. See, that's what we have to understand. Otherwise, let me tell you, the cares of this world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, everything's in our periphery. It's all here. I gotta keep my eye on the prize. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, God's called us to be men of God. We represent God on this earth. We are Christians on this planet. We make a difference. Man, we've got to be serious about this. Man, we've got to look at our lives and examine them. And you know what? We got to live 20, 60, 20. Why? Because God's got a plan for our life and it builds some margins. Man, the last thing we need is for there to be a downturn in the economy and people going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We can't make it. I was living on the razor's edge. You know what that is? That's poverty. And you get comfortable in the wilderness, you never get to that promised land. You got to hate living in that wilderness. Man, Joshua and Caleb, man, they wanted that promised land. You know why? They hated living in that wilderness. They hated living hand to mouth. They got there and they saw, man, look at the fruit. Look at this cluster of grapes. Man, look at these pomegranates. Oh my gosh, look at the figs. The whole land is full of figs. Man, you know what they did? They woke up and they found a pastry. They found manna. They ate that manna. And then you know what? That was it. They had nothing else to look forward to the rest of the day. Man, they go to the promised land. You ready for this? You've never seen it before. You've never tasted it. You might have heard about it. It flows with milk and honey. It flows. Man, God's here. He has a plan for your life. It's going to require you taking some steps. Start paying an extra $10 above the minimum on your credit card bill. Stop using that credit card when you know you can't pay it off at the end of the month. Man, have some discipline in your life. You know, don't have your refrigerator break down and you have to use that credit card to get it. That's when you go to your emergency fund. See, we look at this and we think, well, this is all just about money. It's not. This is about escaping bondage and living a life of freedom. Man, it's the same thing. We don't trust what we see. We don't trust how we feel. We trust everything. So you know what we do now? We say, God, I just thank you right now that I have months. I have months, God. Everything could stop. I've got such a great margin. Everything in the world could stop for 6 months, and I've got enough. See, that's important to God. Because you know what? If we can't manage our own households, which means our lives, we can't manage his house. It's not that your kids aren't gonna mess up. It's not that you're not gonna try and fail, but you know what? You gotta get back up. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times and get back up. And I know this can't be the first time you've heard this. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, I love you very, very much. Please tithe. It's not for income in the church. It's so you're not cursed with a curse. It's so that you're so blessed because the windows of heaven are open above your life. No matter what happens in our economy, no matter what happens in our society, if those windows are open above your life, God's pouring out a blessing you're unable to receive that it's so great. He rebukes the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. You'll be called a delightful land. And I'm just telling you that out of love. And you have to be able to see it first. Go to the Word yourself.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.